We should always
keep this ayat in mind that Allah says that a reminder is beneficial. And then also we should keep this in mind that as far as the benefit is concerned, the first benefit is to the speaker himself. Because his ears are the most closest to his tongue. At the moment as we are sitting, I'm speaking, I'm the first one who listens. And then afterwards it reaches, so you will get benefit. If nobody else benefits, and you also a mu'min, insha'Allah, so you will benefit also. So a reminder is always beneficial. We all read, alhamdulillah, our tasbihati fatimi after now our asr namaz. After fajr also we read. But with regard to this, one time, Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab Rahmatullah Ali was the senior khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Saab Rahmatullah Ali, was visiting us. He was in Azadville, and over some tea, Hazrat explained that, see, this Tasbihat-e-Fatimi, the value of it, that if a person, for example, travels anywhere in the world, and he sees a beautiful tree, a beautiful plant, something, and he desires, I should have this in my garden also. For that one plant, one tree, he said, there's what an effort behind it. That first of all, you'll have to find out whether that plant will grow in your climate where you are. You might have seen it on the coast somewhere. You might have seen it in other place. It doesn't grow inland or climate according to different climates. All plants don't grow everywhere. After you find that out, and if it has to be from outside the country, then the governments are very strict in importing fauna, flora. They are very strict, so you'll have to get a permit, which won't be easy either. If you get that permit also, and then you import it, the transport of that new plant, the plants are very sensitive. They die off very easily also. So you'll have to be so careful in the packaging, in the transporting, etc. When you bring it, then you'll have to dig a hole to specification. Then you'll have to plant it, put fertilizer, sand, water, everything to specification. And after you have planted it, your work is not done, but your work starts now. You'll have to look after it. You'll have to water it regularly. You'll have to see that children playing don't destroy it. It's a new plant, somebody reversing the car, they don't know there's a plant there. They might destroy it. Many things can happen. Then different things take different periods of time to reach its maturity to bear fruit. A mango tree, for example, you'll have to wait years before you can get the fruit. So whatever it is, now you'll have to look after it. In the process, you might die. Or even if that plant does grow, the tree, you get the flowers, you get the shade, you get the fruit, it will be once in a season. And after so much effort for one tree. On the other hand, it comes clearly in the hadith, one subhanallah, a person says, gharsun fil jannah. His tree is planted in Jannah. No import license, no transporting, no fertilizer, no nothing. We all said we might not have thought, and this is why this reminder is so beneficial, that we all read 33 times subhanallah. But we might not have thought that we have planted 33 trees in Jannah. And 33 times alhamdulillah, another 33 trees. 34 times Allahu Akbar, 100 trees we have just planted. And just sitting comfortably here, in this weather, to work outside in the garden, etc. How much work it will be, and how many years will have to pass for that one tree of dunya. And after all, we're going to die, so the tree is not going to be with us forever. Or might be the tree dies before us also. But these trees are permanent. Inshallah, Allah grants us all Jannah. We will be also permanent in Jannah. These trees will also be permanent. So what a small, comparatively insignificant effort. And what a big return. And this is just one small part of our deen. If the whole of deen has to come into our lives, the word king cannot describe what the position of that person is, what Allah Ta'ala will give that person. So we have to all make an effort that proper deen comes into our lives. So these Tasbihat-e-Fatimi, by which name it is famous in the Ummah, and we all read it, Insha'Allah, after Fajr we read, after Asr we read. And this was, this great gift was given to the Ummah on the occasion when some slaves as prisoners of war had come to Madinatul Munawwara in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law and husband of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, told her, "You work so hard in the house. You have developed blisters on your hands, scars on your body, carrying the water bag, etc. And from here also we should learn this lesson that Sayyidatun Nisa'u Ahlil Jannah, the queen of all the women of Jannah, and the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife of Hadrat Ali, but she worked so hard in the house. So from that we should learn a lesson that our wives also should work in the house. And Maulana Mu'inuddin Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Shaykh al-Hadith in Darul Uloom Zakaria at one time, he said that for a woman to do housework, that is the cure for all woman illnesses, woman bimaris which they have, if they do the housework. If a woman does her housework, she doesn't need jogging, she doesn't need to go to the gym, she doesn't need a treadmill. Her housework, if she does, that is more than enough for her. And this is do it with the niyat of the sunnat of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So anyway, so she told him, he told her, and she went. But she was a embodiment of sharam and haya, modesty and shame. This is another very great lesson. Today modesty and shame is gone out of our woman also, almost completely from our man also. Mulling around in the shopping malls, etc., walking around, talking to anyone, behaving in any way, today is a common thing. Just talk anyhow, freely with any person. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. If you don't have sharam, haya, shame and modesty, then you will commit any sin. It won't nothing will stop you from committing a sin. A person who has got sharam and haya, that person will stay away from a lot of sin. Today, unfortunately, we have to see the root causes, the Western education we are getting, the Western environment, the TV, now the internet, all this is causing that Western influence to come in us. That's why our young girls, our grown-up women, grannies also, sharam haya is almost gone totally out of us. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, with so much of sharam and haya, modesty, she went, but she did not have the courage to tell her own father also. She just kept quiet. Another great lesson we get, the relationship between father and children, parents and children. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made out, my daughter has a problem. But she couldn't speak because of her sharam haya. So he understood it also. The relationship also was such that at night he personally went to their house. On the bed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, "Oh Fatima, you came, I made out you wanted to say something, but you didn't. What was it?" Now no one else, just in the privacy of the house, but still she did not have the courage to speak. Allah. Then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I send her. And for this reason he explained. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Fatima, if you want a worker in the house, and from here we learn it's jais for a woman to have a worker, a helper in the house, it is permissible. Better it is they do their housework themselves. But sometimes a lady can't manage also, old age now, some sickness or something. Or even if she's healthy, it is permitted. But better it is that she does her own household chores." Anyway, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No problem, I can give. But if you wish, O Fatima, I can give you something more better. Everyone likes what is better in everything. If a person can afford it, if he can get it, he wants the best thing. Human nature is such." Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "Yes, give me what is better." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Every night when you go, when you lie down to sleep, read 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. This is more better for you than a worker, a helper in the house." From here we learn that reading this tasbihat make, and this is one of the most simple zikrs. The 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, doesn't take a minute also. But this is what is our vitamins. This is what will give us strength in our body. If we will do this regularly, and if we do our proper zikr, this zikr, tilawat of Quran Sharif, other zikrs we do, we will see that we get strength in our body. And also, this is, we learn from this, that by doing the zikr, our dini life will benefit. The strength will come in the body. Our dunya's life, we'll have strength, we'll have energy. Many people complain, I got no energy. I'm feeling very low, very lazy. I don't feel like doing anything. All this is lack of zikr, really. It isn't anything else, it is the lack of zikr. So when this dini thing helps so much for our dunya, and deen is not for dunya's sake. Dunya we must use for deen. So how much won't it help us in our deen? When it helps us so much in our dunya, then in deen how much won't it help us? Many of us have the complaint, I can't control my gazes, I can't control my thoughts, my anger I can't control, I can't get up for fajr, very hard for me. All of us have got these type of complaints. The main thing which our mashayikh have got their finger on the pulse, and that is why they prescribe zikr to their murids. By making zikr, the complete islah of a person will take place. Zikr will remove all our weaknesses, all our wrongs. It comes in the hadith, لِكُلِّ شَيْنْ ثِقَالَ. Everything has got some, everything gets dirty, gets worn down, has to be maintained. And the maintainer, the cleanser, the shiner of the heart is the zikr of Allah. If the heart is right, the whole body will be right. So if we make the zikr regularly, just this zikr also, which is so little, hardly it is anything, we will see, but do it consciously also. Then when the zikr we are making, normally if we have to really think, did I make my zikr? We did do it, all did it. But it's not in our mind because we did it so unconsciously or so subconsciously. We are not even aware that I did it. We did it, but so we have become automated. We have become so computerized that we just did it and it's not in the mind. If we do it and we think of the meaning of it also, then see how much more greater the benefit will be. The meaning of Subhanallah, that we say, what is Subhanallah? Allah is pure. But what is the actual meaning? Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh, in his monumental work Fathul Bari, says, أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهِ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا, that I declare that, and I say that Allah is pure of each and every fault. That Allah is pure. And by us saying this, that Allah is pure, that is, Allah doesn't become tired, Allah, no old age comes to Allah, no flu comes to Allah, nothing overtakes Allah. And any other fault, absolutely no fault in Allah. When a person says Subhanallah, it comes in the hadith. Allah said, you say, I am pure. I am pure, whether you say it or not. But by your saying, Jaza'un wifaqa, I like recompense. You do a good turn to somebody, they do a good turn to you. And Allah is the most righteous, that you did a good turn, so to say, you praised Allah. Allah said, you said, I am pure. In return, I'm purifying you from all your faults. So a person's faults, bad akhlaq, he's got bad character, doesn't keep to his promises, lies a lot, screams too much, especially in the house, how we scream, how we behave, etc. By merely Subhanallah, our Shaykh, rahmatullah alayh, for women, the only wazifa he prescribed when they became bayat, 300 times Subhanallah. When Allah himself saying, I'll purify you, Allah is the purifier, how can't a person get purified? But we don't read it, we don't have that consciousness, we don't do it with feeling, etc. So Subhanallah, our hearts will get purified. Then Alhamdulillah, mushtamilan alal mahamidi kulliha, that I'm praising Allah inclusive of all types of praise. Praise is only for Allah. Today we praise somebody else also, but that is just indirect praise of Allah. Whatever he did, whatever he said, that praise, he got the tawfiq from Allah Ta'ala. It is all from Allah Ta'ala's side. And other praise is directly for Allah Ta'ala. And in the Akhirat there will be no indirect praise. All praise will be directly only for Allah Ta'ala. So when you praise Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, you said all praise belongs only to me. It belongs only to me, to no one else. But since you said it, I will create in you now such qualities that the people will praise you. So by Subhanallah, you became pure of your faults. By Alhamdulillah, qualities of praise will start coming into you. Your character will be good, so much so that even your wife will praise you. Otherwise, the wife is the last person to praise you. The whole world can praise you, but the wife will never ever praise you. There are only two times a wife praises her husband. One is when he's still not really the husband, before marriage, when they are engaged. Then she tells all her friends, I'm getting married to so and so, he's like this, he's like that. All praises because he's a husband, going to be a husband, fiancé. And the other is after you die. Then she will speak good about you, that he was like this and he was like that. But in between, you must forget. But when we will read this, and Allah creates qualities of praise in a person, then even the wife will praise a person. And a person whose wife praises him, there is no doubt he's a wali of Allah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that if your wife is pleased with you, then she will praise you. Even if you got other deeni weaknesses in you, but it's a unanimous masala of the awliya. A person who kept his wife in such a way that she's happy with him, there is no doubt that he's a wali of Allah Ta'ala. So, by Alhamdulillah. And Allahu Akbar, you say Allah is the greatest. Allah says in return, I am the greatest. But now I will create in you such qualities, make you such, that your greatness will be amongst people. Allah. People will say, oh, what, mashallah, what a great man, what a good man, what a great woman, what a good woman this is, by saying Allahu Akbar. If we see, before, many of us must be still remembering that time, whenever we wanted to clean anything, the car, the floor, the toilet, anything, we had to do three things. First, we had to wash and scrub. Then we had to put polish. And then we had to shine. Now scientists, many years now already, they have created three-in-one polish. That one polish does everything. You just apply the polish, it cleans also, it polishes also, and it shines also. Now only about maybe 15, 20, 30 years, they have invented this polish. But Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala gave us three-in-one. Not for the toilet, not for the car, but for the heart. That this year, it takes about 1 minute to apply this one three-in-one polish. But Subhanallah, washing and scrubbing takes place. But Alhamdulillah, polishing takes place. And with Allahu Akbar, shining takes place. And then again, not once a week you're cleaning the car or the floor or something. Five times a day, two times it is. But we are encouraged to read it after every namaz and when going to sleep also. So six times a day, this heart is going through this process. If only so much also we do, a person's tazkiyah and islah will be made. But we don't do it with that. We just do it as a formality. Well, absent-mindedly we do it. If we do it properly, our hearts will become clean and shine like this. So we should try and do this regularly and with this in mind, then see the great benefit. And also let us understand, when in this tasbihat-e fatmi, which is not faraz, it is not wajib, it is not sunnat-e mu'akkada, it is nafil, it is optional, when this has got so much of benefit, if whole of deen will come, how much benefit won't we get? We can't imagine. Unfortunately, we hanker after the dunya. Dunya is not equal to the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah. And a mosquito hasn't got two wings. A mosquito has got six wings. And a mosquito, nobody breeds mosquitoes. Nobody makes love to mosquitoes. Put a mosquito net and put 10 mosquitoes inside. So now I'm going to sleep with 10 mosquitoes. I like them. We kill the mosquitoes. They come making zoom, zoom, zoom. Then you make doom, doom, doom. You kill all the mosquitoes. Nobody wants mosquitoes. You kill them. But that mosquito, and there are many other aspects of the mosquito, the whole dunya is not even worth one wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah. So, but we just, dunya is in front of us all the time. Because deen, we don't associate ourselves with deen. where we don't come to know what is deen. Just little namaz in and out, last we are in, up and down, sajda, back to town. Again, going busy with our work again. But if we associate ourselves with the man of Allah, those people whom Allah has blessed with deen, and those people who love deen, and deen means everything to them, which we call Rijalullah, the man of Allah. And in our Urdu language, Gujarati, Buzurgani deen, these people, then we will come to know the value of deen. So just this tasbihat have got so much value. On one occasion in one masjid in Durban, I mentioned this, at Fajr time, Zohar time, the Imam of Masjid Hilal, our friend Maulana Yusuf Desai, he made imamat and he had to speak to one to Musalli for some work. So he went to him, so that Musalli made a sign, just hold on. So after a little while, then he asked him, spoke to him. Then he told him, I was just busy planting my 100 trees in Jannah. And that will come in our heart, that I'm busy planting my 100 trees in Jannah. And those trees will be so tall, it comes in the hadith, that a person galloping on a fast horse for 100 years and one riwayat 500 years, then he won't finish the shade of the tree. So tall will be the tree. And it's a rule of agriculture, of planting. When any plants grow very tall, you don't plant them next to one another. You have to leave so much space between them. Because when they'll grow up, then they need that space. So a tree that will grow so tall that for 500 years you don't finish the shadow, then how much space must be left? Allah. And you're planting every time 100 trees.
Allah.
So we don't realize when we do this, we are extending our plot of Jannat so much, where such tall 100 trees can fit in every time. Here in this dunya, we know we have our plot, we are doing our planning, and we are just short of half a meter. If I had that little space, I could fit in exactly how I wanted to have. Many times, we encroach on the border, on the line, and then we have endless problems with the neighbors we are fighting, because we encroached on their property little. This is by reading this tasbihat, our plot of Jannat will be growing and increasing every time. So big it will be becoming that where 100 trees can fit in. So Allah has given us this very, very great blessing of this tasbihat e Fatimi. Especially our human folk should also read it, we also. And try and read it after every namaz. And when going to bed also, that little 3/4 minute, 1 minute it will take, but read it. And also, we are planting the trees of Jannat. When we plant something, some trees, especially in a line, 10 trees, then we want when they grow, they must be all perfectly the same. If one tree dies, or it grows halfway, or it grows crooked, that whole scene is spoiled. So when we're planting the seeds of our trees of Jannat, then read it also nicely, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Not all tajweed and qaida and everything, but at least reasonably, and think also what we are reading. Otherwise, if we just subhanallah, 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 we hardly can read it. Some of us, even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should say it with relish. Read it properly. But we say sallallahu, sallallahu alayhi. And writing also nowadays, we don't want to write it out in full also. We just make S-A-W, or we just put a sword. Whereas it comes, if you are a person, wherever you wrote also sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till it remains there, you getting the sawab of it. You wrote in a book, you wrote in a letter to somebody, anything. As long as it will be there, you are getting the sawab of it. So we shouldn't take shortcuts. In deen, we take too much shortcuts. And in dunya's things, our dastarkhan, see, not a single thing will be left out. Every fine, the chutney will not one kind chutney, 2-3 kinds of chutneys. Everything, the achars, not one kind achar, how many? And in one achar, vegetable achar, 10 things in that one achar. But so many things are in there. Talk of food, water comes in the mouth. And you list for food also. But anyway, so our dunya's food, that we don't leave out anything. Indeed, to try and also do it properly. And in dunya is short left. Akhirat is forever. Another very important point, where shortly I'll try to explain that, which is very important, which many of us are negligent also about, is these tasbihat, ifatmi, all others, ayatul kursi, many other wazifas come in the hadith, that you should read it ba'd al-salah, ba'd al-maktuba, ba'd al-fara'id, after your namaz, after the faraz namaz. But the ruling of the fuqaha is that we should read it after those namazes that got sunnat muakkada. First read your sunnat muakkada, then read your wazifas, your durood sharif, your ayatul kursi, your tasbihat, not after the faraz. Many of us measure our piety how long after faraz we sit and read wazifas. And some of us, we read very long, and others who start immediately, we feel, oh, these people are not pious. Mm. Whereas the whole thing is the opposite, that we haven't got the knowledge also of deen, that after sunnat muakkada is mukammile faraiz. It is the completion of any deficiencies in our faraz, and your faraz is the most important. Today also very important to get priorities right in our life is very important. We suffer a lot because we don't prioritize in the right way. One lady wrote a letter and she said she's becoming hafiz a Quran. So on Monday, Thursday she keeps nafil rozas. So she says that when I keep my nafil rozas, or when I keep rozas, my qaza rozas, then my hifz, I can't concentrate. You are weak because you are keeping roza. So I said that your faraz is more important, your qaza umri. But you don't like to keep qaza rozas. You become a hafiza and status. Everyone would say, oh, she became a hafiza. This age she became hafiza status. But your qaza umri, which is your faraz, you are neglecting in that. So that is important. So after our faraz namaz, first do our sunnati muakkada, those namazes that got sunnati muakkada. Zohar, Maghrib and Isha. Fajr, Asr, there is no sunnati muakkada. So those namazes we should do our sunnati muakkada first. And also, to this extent, one place in one other country, the imam, our people, he kept on reading his wazifas, and this happens very common. So the people at the back start reading their sunnats, and after, now he finished, now he looks also at the back, but still he walks across there. And to pass a person who's making namaz, to pass his sajda place, that is very, very wrong also. And the imam is doing it right in the masjid in front of everyone. The others are reading their namazes and he's crossing, he's changing his place. And we are so habitual that he looks also. I told him, you looked also. But we look and we don't look. It is just no difference. If a person is taking off from a stop street or somewhere and he looks this side, that side, and he looked but he didn't look, and a truck is coming, a bus is coming, and he moves on, what will happen to that person? Yeah, and he's the imam. He's looking, but he's not looking. People are making them, but he crosses across them, and he goes on that side, and he reads namaz. So we should first, this is the maslak of all our buzurgani deen. There are other opinions in this masala, but all our buzurgani deen, they first read the sunnat muakkada. And this is Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullah alayhi's qawl, that first read your sunnat muakkada. Personally, after we completed studies, we should also read after faraz all ayatul kursi, tasbihat, etc. Then Maulana As'ad Madani rahmatullah alayhi was once visiting us. I was in Germiston that time, and one of the ustads, very close, and they were class fellows with Maulana As'ad Sahib in Dioban. And they were friends. We were very betakalluf, speaking freely to one another. So Maulana sits up, told that Maulana, that you read this after your faraz, this is wrong. You must read it after the sunnats. I heard the conversation, but a young person, and our kitabi ilm is in front of us, and that is another thing, we go more by our kitabi ilm. Till we don't get sohbat, the proper understanding of deen doesn't come. Not from kitabi ilm does deen come, ilm will come from there. But deen will come from sohbat of the Ahlullah. The Sahaba are known as Sahaba from sohbat. Nobody can be greater ulama than the Sahaba. Nobody can be greater mujahideen, musalli, saimeen, hujjaj than the Sahaba. But no, Sahaba is known by Haji so-and-so or by Maulana so-and-so. All are known by Sahaba from sohbat. From sohbat deen comes. So I still had that in my mind, and unfortunately, what I heard didn't have an effect on me. Then one time our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, was going from Lens to Darul Zakaria. There was a jalsa. then we are going back again in the same car. And then Hazrat had mentioned this there also, that after your faras, your sunnah is muakkada first. Then you read your sunnahs. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us such a relationship with our Shaykh. We used to be free, ask questions. So I say, Hazrat, but in the hadith it comes ba'd al-farais, ba'd al-maktuba. You must read it after the faras, after maktuba, the faras namaz. Then Hazrat first told me, and this is which many of us, it won't just go down our throats. We won't be able to accept it. But with the explanation, we will understand it is right. Hazrat said, when you see there is a clash, contradiction between hadith and fiqh, when there is a contradiction between hadith and fiqh, then follow fiqh. We will say, like commonly, what the Salafis, where they catch us out, we people who go for Hajj, Umrah, etc., they say, you are not making Rafi Yadain. And yes, Bukhari Sharif, that is showing who you're going to follow. Why are you doing Rafi Yadain? My Malsaf taught me, my Ustai. Or Imam Abu Hanifa said. And yeah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you must do Rafi Yadain. Now, who must you listen to? Everyone will say, I must hear, listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But, there is a contradiction. And now, you don't know what to do. So that, what must you do in such case? Follow the fiqh. Fiqh is following hadith. Indirectly, it is from hadith. And hadith directly, then Hazrat explained it, that your eyes are on 2, 3, 5, 10 hadith. And you are making your deduction, and you're not even a faqih. Where you got that fahm, where you got that taqwa, that deep understanding, you lack in everything, your knowledge you are lacking. And Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, what knowledge they had, what deep understanding they had, where we have got that. And they said nothing from their pocket. Everything is from Quran and Hadith, what they said. So in that way we can understand that we have to follow the fiqh and not the hadith. Many other things. Now we had a convention, Mortimer in Azad, great, great ulama had come. One namaz, my son, Qari Abdullah, he made namaz, and like we pick up this now, we see everyone else saying, Safu Sufufakum before namaz, the imam will say, Aqimu Salah, Fa'inna Iqamati Salah, Fa'inna Taswiyata Sufuf min Iqamati Salah. So we also jump on the bandwagon, and we also don't know. So the Mufti of Iraq was also here, and they are, we are Hanafis by name. But in practice, how many of us are Salafis? We are by name Diobandis. But in practice, how many of us are Bidatis? How many of us are all Maududis? Just we got the name. So he told that according to Hanafis, it isn't permissible to say this. You must start your namaz as soon as you can. So much so, in according to Hanafi mazhab, when the Muazzin says, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, already, from that time you can already start your namaz. Though people will find it very awkward that what's wrong with this imam? Where is he rushing to? What's he starting his namaz? But there isn't time for all this other. You, as soon as the takbir is finished, then according to Ahnaf. So Ahnaf must follow Hanafiya. But we hear all this. Just like if you read in Bukhari, all ulama who became alims read your Ameen bil Jahl. You must say Ameen after Alhamdu loudly. But we don't. We follow Hanafi mazhab. We all read that we must make Rafa Yadain. You read it in the hadith. Proper Sahih hadith. But mazhab, you have to follow that. We have to follow hadith. So, and Allama Khalid Mahmood, rahmatullah, damat barakatum, gave a very beautiful example of, he said, very beautiful. He says, when these people catch you and they show you hadith, Bukhari Sharif, this year, etc., and your mazhab, your way is different. So when they catch you, he say, ask that person only one question. That you telling me that I must make Rafi Yadain, etc. So in this matter, is there only this hadith you're showing me? Aren't there many other ahadith also? He'll think you're a big muhadith, a big alim, and you know plenty other hadith. But you know, you never lie also, and you have put him on the heavy defense. Such defense, he'll turn around and run away from you, that I can't discuss with. He knows many other hadith. So the truth is, in all these matters, there are many more hadith. And you have to see the whole picture. You can't just see a portion of the picture and make a decision. One example that comes to my mind with regard to this, if there's a court case carrying on, for 6 weeks it's going to run, 6 months it's going to run, and you went for 1 hour and you heard the evidence that was there, and after 1 hour you made a decision, the person is guilty, not guilty. And the judge who sits for that whole case, 6 weeks, 6 months, is making his notes, it's tape recorded, and cross-examination takes place. He hears the evidence of the other side after, and then he takes time. I need 2 months to make my decision. And he studies the whole case, and the law of the country is in front of him also. Then he makes a decision. Whose decision is more acceptable? Yours you made in 1 hour, or the judge who listened to the whole case? So the judges of Islam, the jurists, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were totally in deen, fully in deen, and everything was in front of them. And those days, there were so many kitabs which we can't dream about today. When the Tatars invaded Baghdad, how many kitabs they destroyed? Libraries they destroyed. Now America, one of the main targets was the libraries in Baghdad. They destroyed those libraries. We haven't even got access to that knowledge which they had in front of them, and they made that decision. Now today we, a small pipsqueak, we want to make some decision of that. What is our decision compared to their decision? So we should follow the fiqh. In that we will be rightly guided. So this is also very important, that after our those namazes that got sunnat muakkada, as soon as we finish our faraz. And even Ibn Abidin Shami has written very short dua. In fact, such a short dua is written, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakti hadil jalali wal ikram. Then start with your sunnat muakkada. It means a very short dua. And then no wazifas at that time. Read your sunnat muakkada. Now by all means read as many wazifas as you want to. So this is also a thing that we have to correct ourselves. Though it doesn't easily go down with many of us, we find it hard to accept because we're so used to reading all our wazifas after Faraz namaz. And in fact, we measure our piety, that the more I read wazifas after Faraz, the more pious I am. Whereas it is in fact the opposite. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to bring the whole of deen into our lives, inshallah. Wherever we have the opportunity, ulama's bayans, etc., wherever we can learn about deen, we should not keep back. We should try and learn about deen. Also, we must be very careful who we take our deen from. Today, many sources and all different type of sources. So check out with our ulama. Like a GP, he will refer you to a specialist. Don't just you go to any specialist. Ask your GP. So ask your alim, ask your imam, ask your sheikh, and where necessary, he will refer you to somebody more senior in these. But we should learn deen, make it our priority. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.